You are listening to Radio Ramadan 365 Podcasts.
Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma faqqihna fi d-deen wa alimna ta'wil. وارزقنا العمل بما نتعلم وارزقنا الإخلاص في القول والعمل واجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك يا كريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome back to the Seerah Show, broadcasted live on 87.7 FM on Radio Ramadan, and likewise additionally broadcasted on Radio Ramadan.scot, a series in Ramadan 2024, coinciding with 1445 Hijri, where we will be discussing key moments from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And prior to this session, we've discussed numerous key important moments of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca. And we know that in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is split up into two sections. You have the period of Mecca and you have the period of Medina, right? Post-migration and pre-migration. And so one of the reasons why, or the build-up to the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is where we're going to carry on from in our last lesson. And that were the immediate aftermaths of the after effects of the major event of Isra Miraj, and of the news of the Prophet's miraculous journey spreading, and people like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reaffirming this. And so Muslims began to grow in number, and Muslims are slowly growing in number, and there's a clear line between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And so the Prophet has already set his eyes, or set the goals, to other parts of Arabia, and he knows that. We know this because he attempted to establish Taif as a base. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took advantage of the opportunity of Hajj, and that was that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do. And Hajj is a ritual where many people may or may not realize Hajj is such an ibadah that has been around since the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right? And if not even, and even before that. Right, but we know Hajj, as we before, Hajj in one way or another is based upon the Sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so from that time onwards, people have been performing Hajj, including what we know to be the Mushrikeen of Mecca. And so what would happen was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go around giving da'wah, an opportunity to spread Islam. Instead of the, imagine, instead of people sallallahu alayhi wasallam going to all of these far cities and villages and, you know, emirates almost all the way around the Arabian Peninsula, rather, you have all of the Arabian Peninsula coming to them. So it's a great opportunity for da'wah. Like, as when you do go Hajj, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives us all the ability to perform Hajj this year and every year, the year after that. Think of this as an opportunity for da'wah. Exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go around in da'wah, and Abu Lahab, who's the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose actual name was Abdul Uzza bin Abdul Muttalib. Right? He would go around and say, people, don't listen to this more. My nephew, he's going abandoning the ways of Lat and Uzza, and he's calling you towards this innovation and misguidance. Don't listen to him. And so some people were completely discouraged by this. There is a bad influence, to stay with him. Others were potentially leaning towards Islam. And there's one famous moment where one of them said, okay, we're considering Islam, we're considering what you have to say, but you know, eventually we want to be your viceroys, we want to be your deputies. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decide. And then so these group of people also rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thinking that, hey, if we're going to be with you now in hard times, then, you know, once, you know, let's say things start to turn around, we weather the storm, things start to go better, and you want us to now not have a, you know, we have this right. And they thought they have this right. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejected this completely and said, no, this is from Allah, and Allah will decide who is going to be next, who's going to have authority and dominionship after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would occupy himself in explaining, in giving da'wah. And this is where often he would respond, and people would ask questions of, okay, what is Islam? What does he teach you? What's the basics of Islam? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, قُلْ تَعَالُوا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْرَاقٍ, and the verses of Surah An'am. Likewise, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, what does Allah tell you to do? And there's a very beautiful, concise, jami' ayah of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Allah commands you, or Allah commands justice, ihsan, to do things properly, and giving relatives and giving to relatives, and prohibits Allah prohibits evil, bad deeds, and injustice, and He encourages you and advises you so that you may take heed. And so this is the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving da'wah. And then this year, the 11th year of Hijrah, was one of the important events, or the build up to one of the important events. That was that when in this year, 11th year of Hijrah, when some individuals from the people of Medina arrived, or people of Yathrib as they were called, they arrived in Mecca to perform Hajj, and they met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as soon as they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they realized he was the true prophet. And so what would happen was, at that time, and how did they realize that he was the true prophet? Why? Because at that time there was a heavy Jewish population living in Yathrib and in Medina, and they would often have some difficulties with the Arabs at the time. And so the Jewish people population would say, when the final prophet comes to us, he's going to grant his victory. Allah is going to grant his victory through his final prophet. We're going to join him. And so the Arabs, and they knew that these Jewish people, these Jewish these Jewish rabbis and these Jewish individuals had knowledge of the book, they were Ahlul Kitab. And so they had this in the back of their mind that this could be true. And so when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they realized that this is the exact one that the Jewish people have been talking about. And so they encouraged that we need to pay attention, because we don't want the Jews to beat us to this good fortune and value. Right? We want this for ourselves. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked him, questioned him, tested him, and they realized that he was a prophet, he was true. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited verses of the Quran, and then they accepted Islam. And there were six people, and they were all from Khazraj tribe, right? The people of Medina had two tribes, Aus and Khazraj, right? And amongst them were Asad ibn Zurar, Auf ibn Haris, Rafi ibn Malik, Qutba ibn Amir, Uqba ibn Amir, and Jabir ibn Abdullah ibn Rabab. And so these six, now on the 11th year after Hijrah, they went back to Medina. And now the following year, we have a large group of people, right? You have 12 people, right? 12 individuals. So out of these six, five of them, in addition to another seven, had come. And so now, out of these 12 people, some of them are from Aus, some of them are from Khazraj, they approach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they pledge allegiance. And this is what's referred to as Bay'atul Aqaba al-Ula, right? The first pledge of allegiance at Aqaba. And there's a masjid that's built in this location. Masjid al-Bay'ah is right next to the Jamarat in Makkah Mukarramah. And the reason it's called Aqaba is the name of the area is referred to as Aqaba. And so they pledged allegiance not to carry shirk, to stay away from theft, fornication, all forms of fahisha, of slander, of lying, false accusations. And so these were the people of Ansar, and this is the pledge that they gave. And so with them, the Prophet ﷺ dispatched Musa ibn Umair and Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum to be two knowledgeable companions and to teach them deen. And so when these two individuals, Musa ibn Umair and Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, arrived in Medina, they began occupying themselves in da'wah. And so there's numerous examples of Musa ibn Umair inviting people to da'wah. And so one of the people in Medina at that time, his name was Asad ibn Zurar. He realized that the people of the Jewish scriptures would have a day, and also realized that the Christians would have a day. And so he thought, let's gather the Muslims together and we can also have a day. And he chose what was referred to at the time is he chose Yawm al-Aruba, the day of the Arabs. But obviously we know that this day was later on referred to in the Quran as Yawm al-Jum'ah. And so now is this moment where the Muslims gathered together and they perform Jummah Salah. And likewise, at this moment, soon after this, so this ijtihad of some of these companions coincided with the command of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at a similar time, or just after this, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam constructed Musa ibn Umair to also perform Jummah Salah and to establish Jummah Salah. And so the people of Medina were instructed to perform two rakats a midday, i.e. Jummah Salah. And so, you know, Abdurrahman ibn Ka'b ibn Malik, Kabir Malik, one of the Thalath al-Ladhina Khulifu, right, and Abdurrahman, his son, said, whenever my father Kabir Malik heard the Adhan al-Jummah being called, he would fondly remember Asad ibn Zurara, and he would make dua for Asad ibn Zurara. And he asked why. So the son's asking Kabir Malik why. He said, Medina, he was the first person to lead us in Jummah Salah. And so, in the following year after this, so that was in 12, in the 13th year after this, you have a group now for Hajj, a group of approximately 75, give or take. who had approached the Prophet ﷺ, 73 men and 2 women approached the Prophet ﷺ during his Hajj in this year. And the Prophet ﷺ, and they had a conversation with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ gave them da'wah and they pledged allegiance. And so they secretly met up with the Prophet ﷺ with his uncle, Abbas, and Abbas introduced the Prophet ﷺ to them. And he said, Abbas radiallahu anhu says that it was at this point he hadn't openly professed Islam, when he hadn't truly embraced Islam or slash openly professed Islam, depending on how you want to look at it. He did accept Islam later on, and he was a Sahabi and a very beloved uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. And then he sat with the Prophet ﷺ and the 75, and he began to praise the Prophet ﷺ, saying exceptionally well esteemed, a man of the community, and a man of honor, a man of valor, a man of admiration. And you know, these people, and highlighted many of the key qualities of the Prophet ﷺ. And then he says, if you're and then he's pointing out that, hey, you want to take my nephew? This is how great my nephew is. Are you sure you're going to be able to look after him? And then in essence, Ansar replied, yes. And then the Ansar, these people, they just accepted Islam. They said, whatever you want, we're ready to comply, whatever the demands are. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I call you towards Allah. He presented Islam to them, revealed verses of the Quran to them. And he said, I will encourage you to worship one God, and I call you towards worshiping one Allah, and to not carry out any shirk, any form of associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his Prophet ﷺ then requested for them to grant refuge and offer protection to the Prophet ﷺ, just as they would protect their wives and children. And that you obey the Prophet ﷺ in hardships and in good times, in comfort and adversity, in prosperity and in poverty. In every condition you take and heed, and you listen to these occasions. And so now the Ansar asked, what do we get in response for this? And the Prophet ﷺ replied, Jannah. And then the Ansar agreed to all of these conditions. And then they asked the Prophet ﷺ to place his hand out, and the Prophet ﷺ gave bay'ah to them. 75 of them. Obviously, the 2 women that were there, the Prophet ﷺ never touched their hands, because the Prophet ﷺ never touched the hands of a non-mahram woman. And so in essence, the Prophet ﷺ accepted their pledge of allegiance through words. It was an oral or verbal pledge of allegiance. And so now the Prophet, when he addressed them, he chose 12 individuals. And he said, just like Musa السلام, appointed 12 leaders, tribes, chiefs of different tribes, I'm appointing 12. And Jibreel السلام, helped the Prophet, or Jibreel السلام, adjusted to the Prophet السلام, who these 12 were. And they were chosen as 12 individuals to lead other companions as leaders. And so one of the things that took place now was that people now, when, as I said, the people of Medina had professed their Islam, a large group of them, and they had invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they promised that they were going to give protection and look after him. And then now Muslims begin all to then migrate towards Medina. Muslims begin to migrate towards Medina. And this is something which the mushrikeen of Makkah do not like. Why? Because in Makkah they were persecuting Muslims, and now these Muslims begin to escape. And so now it gets to the point where they realize, hey, what's wrong with these people? And they see that all of the houses of Makkah slowly begin to become empty. And so now they become very concerned. And so now they gather together in what's referred to as Darun Nadwa. And so many of their leaders, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, Shaybah ibn Rabi'ah, Abu Sufyan, Jubair ibn Mut'im, many of the evil leaders, and Abu Jahl, of course. And Umayy ibn Khalaf, and amongst others. They gather together and decide what to do. And as they were gathering together, a man approached. And he was an old man who they did not recognize. And he introduced himself and said, I'm an old man from Najd. I want to listen. Maybe I can give you my opinions of certain things. Right, Najd is that northeastern side of Saudi Arabia, which is like Riyadh area, that kind of thing. And then later on, we know the historians mentioned that this was in fact Iblis. This is Iblis in the form of a human. And so now they began to decide what to do. And they said, what do we do? What should we do about this man, Muhammad? And so they started to give different solutions. One of them said that we should imprison the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he said, the old Najdi man said, no, if you imprison him, then people are going to attack you. They're going to gather force and then free him, attempt like a prison break type thing. And so, no, that's not the right thing. And then they said, okay, and then he's going to go away, and then he's going to mislead, quote unquote, mislead other people. And so he's going to go to a different city away from your clutches and then cause more trouble. And then another one said, okay, what about this? So why don't we just exile him? And they said, no, that, you know, if you exile him, then he's going to go spread his words and then people are going to start following him and then he's going to come back and attack you. And then Abu Jahl, he came up with this. Abu Jahl at this point now comes forward and he says, what we're going to do is going to take a young man from each of these tribes and each of these tribes of Quraysh, and they're going to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. And that way, the blood money would be split out evenly and nobody would know exactly who was the one who had dealt the final blow to kill the Prophet ﷺ. And so now, this is an opinion that's agreed upon by this Najdi man who was Iblis. And so now what happened, as this was going on, Jibreel ﷺ approached the Prophet ﷺ, informing him of what's going to happen. Informing him of what he needs to do, and he needs to begin his migration. وَيَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And so now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins his hijrah journey, and he leaves his household, and he appoints Ali radiallahu anhu. At his home. He appoints Ali radiallahu anhu at his home. And the reason why he appoints Ali radiallahu anhu at his home was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite him being considered like an enemy of the state, the people of Mecca couldn't trust anybody but him. He truly was Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. And so what they would do is anything that they had valuable, any of the key possessions, they would give it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to look after. And so now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appoints Ali radiallahu anhu at his place and instructs Ali to take his place and to stay behind and to return the amana, in return the entrusted items that were given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to look after. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then begins to leave his house and he's surrounded. At this point now, the Quraysh of Makkah had launched an attack on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house. And one of the reasons why they never entered was it was considered exceptionally disrespectful and exceptionally immoral, right? Even according to their societies, even though they wanted to do so much immoral things, this was a step too far of somebody entering another person's house. Subhanallah. And so they wouldn't enter. And so they waited for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave. But subhanallah, what happened? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left underneath their nose. He gathered some dust from the floor, there's some sand, and he recited verses of Surah Yasin. Verses of Surah Yasin. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. We place in front of them a barrier and behind them a barrier. We cover them so that they could not see. And so now the Prophet ﷺ had walked away. And at this point now, he then makes his way initially towards the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the Quraysh, the people of Mecca, the would-be assassins, are waiting outside the Prophet ﷺ house. And so it happens in the morning, the man walks past the house and says, what are you doing outside Muhammad's house? And they said, we're waiting to kill him. And he's like, did you not see him walk behind you? He walked straight through you? He walked straight through you. And then they realized in the morning that it was Ali radiallahu anhu. And they could see through like the window area. And they asked him, where's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he replied, you know, we don't know. And that's true. He actually didn't know where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He did not know the exact location. And so now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaches Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and informs him that he has been given permission to migrate. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu bursts into tears and he asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I accompany you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says yes, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at this moment bursts into tears out of happiness. And so, because he understood the honor. Aisha radiallahu anhu, she's just a young girl at this moment. She says that I did not know anybody could cry out of extreme happiness up until this moment. And this is when I saw my father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, cry out of extreme happiness. I realized that it's possible people do actually cry out of happiness. And so now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu informs him and he says that he has already prepared two camels for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one for him and one for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And so now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says he doesn't accept him as a gift, but he agrees to pay him out for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And one of the beautiful things about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was that he was a wealthy businessman, but subhanallah, he spent everything in Islam. He gave everything that he could in Islam. He used whatever money he could to help the Muslims, the weak, vulnerable Muslims, and he used whatever money he could to free any of them that were slaves. And so now, Abu Bakr sallallahu alaihi wasallam then leaves with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they begin to make their way towards Thawr, a cave in the south of Mecca. And the reason why they're going to the south of Mecca was, even though they knew they were going towards Medina, and that was in the north, and the people of Mecca, the ones that were hunting them, knew that they were going to Medina, because that's where many of the Muslims had begun to migrate. And they also found news of the Pledge of Allegiance the people of Medina gave. And so they wanted to avoid this hunting party that were there to hunt them. And so they went to the south in an unorthodox route. And so it's at this point now they are camping. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they camp 3 days inside a cave. And this is one of the famous and most historic landmarks that's there in Makkah Mukarramah, the cave of Thawr. Right? And it's a location that's mentioned in the Quran. And so what happened was, as these people were hunting the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what happened? They hired trackers to track the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they found them, or they followed them to, or they found the footprints, or they followed where they were to the mouth of this cave. And it's at this point now that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, that if one of them were to look below their feet, they would see us. And this point now, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ya Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bithnain, Allahu thalithuma. Oh Abu Bakr, what do you think about two people? Rather, Allah is the third of these two people. I.e., me and you are here, Allah is with us. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Do not be sad, do not despair, do not lose hope, do not be worried. Verily, Allah is with us. And so now, this led to a degree of peace and calm coming over them both. فأنزل الله سكينة وعلي يؤيده بجنود لم تروها. Allah said that we covered them with peace and tranquility, and we helped them with an army that you do not see. Right, and what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a spider to spin a web, and according to some narration, Allah sent down a dove to lay eggs. To which case, now these trackers, the mushrikeen of Makkah, then came to the conclusion that it would not be possible for humans to have been here. Why? Why? Because of these eggs and because of the spider web. And so they then began to go away. So at this point now, after 3 days, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is camping there with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they have few people here with them. Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, Prophet Abu Bakr's son, then comes, gives them food and gives them news. In the night time, Asma bint Abi Bakr used to come, Abu Bakr's daughter used to come and help and give food and provisions and whatever food they could do. So this is how they, you know, the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the blessed family, helped the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one of his most vulnerable moments. And so now the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam begins his hijrah journey to the north towards Medina Munawwar, and he's not alone. He has Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with him, and they have Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's free slave, Amir ibn Fuhayra, and they also have a hired guide. It was a non-Muslim who was called Abdullah ibn Uraiqit. So there were four of them in this party that were traveling. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Amir ibn Fuhayra radiallahu anhu, and Abdullah ibn Uraiqit, a non-Muslim. And so they now begin to make their way on this hijrah journey towards what we know to be modern-day Medina Munawwar. And along this route, there's many different famous stories that took place. The story of Umm Ma'bad, the story of Suraq ibn Malik, Umm Ma'bad, where a miracle takes place in which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam miraculously milks a goat that had no milk, and that was almost impossible for this goat to have any milk, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through his barakah, milks this goat, and there was milk that was there. And Umm Ma'bad, then she begins to accept Islam radiallahu anha, and she sees she gives a description of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is the most authentic description of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Such a beautiful hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to learn more about the description of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This subject of the description of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, something called Shama'il. Or Shama'il encompasses a part of Shama'il, as well as discussion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's attributes and how he was, his conduct, his physical attributes are also described. Likewise, the incident of Suraq ibn Malik, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promises Suraq ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, who later on accepted Islam, the bangles, of Qaisar. And so now, the bangles of Kisra, And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues his journey with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu up until they get to the outskirts of Medina Munawwara at the tribe of Bani Amr ibn Auf, and where they are greeted by the Sahaba, and where they enter Medina Munawwara finally. Join us in our next session as we continue our discussion of Medina Munawwara. Thank you for joining us in Radio Ramadan 87.7 FM and on Radio Ramadan.scot. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us the ability to learn more about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and He grant us all abundance of beneficial knowledge and true love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and allows us to spread this love throughout the whole world. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.